Our theme this morning is what as parents should we be teaching and how as parents ought we to be training. What to teach and how to train. Cotton Mather wrote this as his first resolution as a Christian father. At the birth of my children, I will resolve to do all I can that they may be the Lord's. I will now actually give them up by faith to God, entreating that each child may be a child of God the Father, a subject of God the Son, a temple of God the Spirit, and be rescued from the condition of a child of wrath, and be possessed and employed by the Lord as an everlasting instrument of his glory. Now, what was the first truth that Cotton Mather acknowledged? It was this, that all of our children need to be saved from their sins. They all need to repent. They all need forgiveness. They need to confess Christ as Saviour and Lord. They need to be born again by God's Spirit. Then and only then will they truly be able to live in obedience to all that God requires. He understood that. But in the meantime, God has revealed to us in the Bible how we are to raise our children. God has told us what we are to teach them. And God has shown us how we are to train our children towards godliness. And we cannot neglect that duty. Paul observed in Timothy that he had known the scriptures from his childhood, and that it was those same scriptures that had made him wise for salvation. Yes, it also needs the vital work of God's Spirit. Of course it does. But we are to begin by putting the scriptures into the minds of our children. We're also to train our children in order to develop their character and their conduct. Now, because they're sinful, it will be a battle. It is a battle, isn't it? But God requires us to do it. We're not to abandon our children to their sinful natures, thinking that it's futile to even try to do anything with them. There is a biblical way to raise our children. So this morning we're thinking about what to teach, and secondly, how to train. The section on teaching is a lot longer than the section on training, so don't worry. If you've seen the thing on the front of this, I'm not going for the world record in length of sermon, don't worry. Some Christian parents have taken the view that it's their responsibility to do all the teaching that their child will receive. And that is a perfectly legitimate choice to make. But for some parents, it's a rather daunting thought. What, me teach my child physics, chemistry, geography? The fact is, of course, some parents just couldn't even begin to try to tackle the majority of academic subjects that they would like their children to learn. If mum and dad have both been educated to a reasonable level themselves, well, that's one thing. What about the parents who came to Christ in adulthood, but who themselves left school barely able to read and write? They couldn't even spell isosceles triangle, never mind recognize it if they've tripped over one. What about the single parent who has to work full time just to keep their children housed and fed and clothed? For some Christian parents, partly through books they've read, partly through things that they've seen on YouTube, the issue of homeschooling children has become a bit of an issue. I just want to say something about this because I think there are some misguided things said, and I think at the same time there are some very helpful things that need to be said on this issue. The first thing to be said is that I am ready to support any parents who choose to homeschool their children. That's a perfectly legitimate choice for them to make. I do have a problem with what certain people say in trying to promote homeschooling, and I want to just address that issue. Some people in the Christian community do not address homeschooling as an option. They address it as the only reasonable conclusion that all parents should come to. And that assertion that sometimes comes across, I just want to address. I want to ask a question. Does the Bible put that broader duty upon parents that they and only they must personally provide all the instruction for their children? Well, if it does, I can't find it in the Bible. Arguments are made. Well, one argument that's made is that sending your child to a state school, the whole curriculum there and the whole ethos of that school will be atheistic, it will be humanistic, it will be evolutionary and all the rest of it. And it's completely wrong to expose your child to such ungodly influences. And that every aspect of their learning in every subject when you send them to school will be from an unbiblical worldview. Therefore, you cannot possibly consider sending your child to school. Well, I understand what they're thinking. And there are probably some schools that any Christian parent should really think twice about sending their children to. But I do have an issue when, as some do, not all, some accuse me of being unbiblical for choosing to send my children to school. That's what I have an issue with. My experience as a father has been that as long as the foundation is right at home, children are sufficiently and remarkably robust and discerning to deal with going to a school where other views are being expressed. Although there may be some schools, as I've said, that really are worth thinking about avoiding. The junior school that my boys went to had a very strong Christian ethos. Their high school, well, that was just an ordinary comprehensive. And they knew and understood that coming from a Christian home, things were different for them. Some things that were going to be said at school would be at odds with what the Bible teaches. But often, nothing like as bad or as frequently as some would have you think. And children are capable of learning and coping with the fact that not everyone in the world thinks like them or behaves like them or has the same values or priorities as them. They were faced with the realities of having to make choices that children from other homes didn't have to make. Do we attend that birthday party that's taking place at the time when we would normally be at church on a Sunday? They're faced with the realities of exercising discernment in the choosing of their friends and getting on with other children socially. There were realities of Christian living in a sinful world that they were exposed to firsthand. And as long as they were carefully guided through, they learned from it and they coped with it. And I don't think it scarred them spiritually or emotionally for the rest of their lives. Some Christians would say you ought not to expose your children to those kinds of things at an early age. I'm not quite sure what a good age is. And whilst I'm happy for them to make those decisions about their own children, I can find no biblical mandate for them making those decisions for my children. You'll find plenty of very prominent men who say differently to me. But having considered the issue very carefully, that's where I stand. Having said that, Christians who send their children to school must not talk about Christians who homeschool their children as if they're freaks, which is sometimes the case. And of course, because these issues are about our children, people often get very emotive over the whole thing, and often take arguments to an extreme. What does the Bible require Christian parents to teach their children? That's the question to ask. The Bible certainly makes me responsible for what my children learn. But it doesn't require me to teach them everything, nor does it insist that I must be their only teacher. God does, however, require me to teach them certain things. If you read through, for example, Deuteronomy 6, the opening verse is there. Proverbs 3, the opening verse is there. Those passages in themselves are sufficient to let me see what I must teach my children. And those things will keep and guide my children. It's the law of God, the Bible. That's what I must teach them. There are many good resources and there's many good books available. You can go to any good Christian publisher or bookshop. You'll find loads of helps. And if, as a parent, if you're not quite sure where to turn to, well, pull up your Google screen and you can search for places like Evangelical Press. You can search for places like the Good Book Company. You can search for places like the Metropolitan Tabernacle Bookshop. And you will find more than enough material for children and parents to use together to get you started. But what are the really key issues that all Christian parents must be teaching their children? What are the key issues? Well, I mentioned the other week a book by Joel Beakey. It's called Parenting by God's Promises. I'm making no excuses for largely using Joel's book as the syllabus for this section of this series. And in his book, he suggests 10 key truths that should be flowing out of all the things that we teach our children. Whatever material we might be using, whatever books we might be using, whatever study aids we might be using, 10 key things that should flow out of everything that we teach our children. And if you teach them nothing else, teach them this. Here's the 10 things. Number one, teach them who God is and what he is like. Let your children know through the Bible that we can see who God is and what he is like. Teach them about God's attributes, his holiness, his love, wisdom, power. Teach them that God is eternal, infinite, good, sovereign, and glorious. Teach them that God has no rivals and that he alone is worthy of our praise. Our children should begin to grasp what it was when Moses said, "Who is like you, O Lord among the gods?" in Exodus 15. As you read Bible stories with them, point out to them what we can learn in that story about the nature of God. A 5-year-old won't be able to read A.W. Pink's book on God's attributes, but there are books written for their age and ability, and you can teach them yourself. Next, teach them the seriousness of sin. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul teaches that all unbelievers have their consciences pricked when they sin. We must seek to prick the consciences of our children by addressing their hearts and minds over the seriousness of sin. Children need to learn as well that sin is not just about what we say or do. It's about our sinful hearts. It's about thinking hurtful things towards others as well as doing them. It's about issues such as selfishness and telling lies. And you can use simple examples like when your child refuses to share a toy. You can take a cup that's still dirty on the inside but looks clean on the outside. You cut into a piece of fruit sometime, and a piece of fruit that looks ripe and ready to eat, and you open it and it's all bad on the inside. You can use simple illustrations and examples with your children to explain to them the basics of sin and the seriousness of it. And then we can relate it back to God's nature. How perfect the world was when he first created it, and how disobedience has brought death into the world as the punishment for sin. Teach them about the seriousness of sin. Thirdly, teach them about hell. Even children can encounter the realities of death, even if it's the death of a family pet. And they're never too young to begin to think about what happens to us when we die. How many of us indeed, how many unbelievers speak to children about when we die, we go to heaven. Even animals, they're in heaven, or they're a star in the sky. Children are never too young to begin to think about eternity. Now, of course, we don't want to frighten our children, especially young children, with graphic language or with images that they're too young to handle. We don't want to be talking about hell every day. But neither must we withhold from children the reality of how God deals with sinners. That we'll be separated from God forever if we don't ask for God's forgiveness and if we don't love and trust the Lord Jesus. Children can understand that. We must make sure that we talk about heaven far more than we talk about hell. But we still must talk about hell. We must talk of salvation through the Lord Jesus far more than we talk about condemnation. But do tell them about the wages of sin. Let them know that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when we speak about hell, we do well to remember a conversation that took place between two young pastors about 190 years ago. Andrew Bonner was speaking to his friend Robert Murray McShane. And Andrew said to Robert, "I've just had a great sermon. I've been preaching on hell." And Robert Murray McShane looked at Andrew Bonner and he said to him, "Oh, my friend, I trust you did it with tears." Fourthly, teach your children about the moral law. Jesus surprised many of his hearers, even very knowledgeable men of his day, when he explained that to hate someone in your heart is to be guilty of breaking the commandment not to murder. Murder begins with a hateful thought. We must teach our children the Ten Commandments. We must point out in Bible stories whenever any of those commandments are either being kept or when they're being broken. Use current stories in the news with slightly older children to show how a particular event or action goes against God's law or is in keeping with it. Teach your children that the reason that so many people keep breaking God's law is because God is holy, but we are not. There's none righteous, no, not one. But then, of course, you can tell them that there is one man who lived perfectly. There is one man who kept that law, and that his righteousness can be ours. You can tell them about the Lord Jesus, who kept the law for us, that we might be clean. You can tell your children about the necessity of being born again. Our children need to learn that simply being good is not enough. Going through a day when neither mum nor dad have had to shout or tell you off is not enough. The Bible says that sin comes from our sinful hearts and that we need new hearts. They need God to make them new and clean on the inside. And only God can do that, and they need to be told. Psalm 51, we read some different things there. "You desire truth in the inward parts. Purge me, wash me, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." John 3, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Teach your children about the necessity of being born again. Sixthly, teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might be thinking, well, surely that should have been number one on the list. Well, you'll see that Joel Beakey is taking things through in a systematic way. He's following things in an order. Tell them about God. Tell them about the realities of sin. Tell them about God's remedy for sin. So he's just putting these things in the order that a systematic theologian might put them. Not in order of importance. Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Having explained to your children that their great need as a sinner is that they need saving from their sin, then of course you must point them to the Saviour. And we should never tire of telling our children about Jesus. From the prophecies and the shadows and the types in the Old Testament all the way through to his incarnation, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his exaltation, his second coming. You need to speak often to your children about who Jesus is, why he came, why he died. Don't just leave it to the guys doing the children's talks on Sunday morning. Oh, they're just doing that at the moment. They're telling people all about Jesus coming. You need to be telling them every day about the Lord. Let them see how much God loves us and why they need to put their trust in him. Seventhly, teach them about the atoning blood of Christ. And be very specific with children on this issue. Even a child needs to understand more than only Jesus loves you. Now that's a wonderful truth, but that's not the gospel. There's much more to the gospel than that. And even a child can understand more than that. Explain that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins by going to the cross in our place. Use the example of a substitute in football if you must. One player coming on in the place of another. Explain how the Bible teaches that because Jesus died and shed his blood, we can be washed and forgiven all of our sins. Children can understand far more scriptural truth than we often give them credit for, especially with the aid of God's Spirit. Now, of course, when we're talking about blood with very young children, we do need to be careful that we don't give them completely the wrong image of what we mean by being washed in blood. Very young children will take us literally, and they get totally the wrong idea. So we do need to be careful how we speak to them according to their age. But let them know that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Something else we need to teach our children is the necessity of faith in Christ. In memorizing key verses of Scripture, our children must be convinced that if they would be saved at all, it's all of God's doing. It's only by grace, and it's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a pastor once visiting a woman in his rural parish, and he was trying and failing to explain faith to this woman. He just wasn't getting through, and eventually he just gave up and he drew the conversation to a close and he left. Nearby, within view of the woman's house, was a bridge over a small stream that he had to cross over, and the bridge did not look very substantial. And this pastor was really very uncertain about using this bridge that he'd never used before. And the woman watched with great amusement as the man reached the bridge and paused and slowly, very tentatively, began to put his foot on it to see if it would take his weight. She shouted out to him, "Go ahead! Lean your all on the bridge!" "That's it," he thought. "And madam, you must lean your all on Christ." And that's what we need to teach our children to do. Teach them about sanctification and holiness. Now, you might not want to use those words straight away, but you can teach them the principles. Our children need to learn from us and see demonstrated by us the pursuit of holiness and obedience. They need to learn from us and see in us the putting away of sin, the growth of grace, growth in the knowledge and love of Christ. You see, there might be themes in the Bible that are very difficult to talk to young children about, but we can live them out in front of them. We read in Colossians chapter 1 these words, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Well, we should want that for our children, and we should be living it out in front of them, that they might know the reality of it too. One final thing to teach your children. Teach them about the joys of heaven. Tell them about the glorious future that awaits all those who are the Lord's, and that it is there in heaven for all eternity that we are to store our treasure. Tell them that that is the place that we need to be looking to, not the things of this world. We need to teach our children early to store up treasures in heaven. Tell them of the hope that we have in Christ of everlasting life. Tell them that there will be a day when all sin and all grief and all pain and all sorrow will be gone forever. And tell them that for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will spend all of eternity with him. Tell them the glories and the wonders of heaven. In all the things that we teach our children, there are 10 key things that they need to know. And it doesn't matter too much in the early days how much you think your children understand. Just repeat these great themes over and over as they grow. That from childhood they would know the scriptures. And pray that the Holy Spirit would visit them, and that through the Bible they would become wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, let's be praying that for all of our children constantly. Let me just pause and ask you a second. Do you know about all these things? Are these a reality for you? Do you understand your need of salvation? Do you realize that it's only available through Christ? Is there anyone here this morning? You don't yet know for yourself the full reality of all these things. Well, we pray that you will. And perhaps there's things that you want to come and talk to us about. Any of those points that we've just mentioned, please come and speak to us. And we'd love to go through that with you. Well, we need to teach our children. And of all the things that we might teach them, let's make those 10 things the key things. And alongside teaching goes training. We're not to wait until our children are saved before we start to train them. The Bible makes it clear that training begins at infancy. From them never to depart from what they're trained in what they need to do, they do need new birth. But we don't wait for the new birth and then start training them. We train them from their infancy towards godliness. We seek to instill into them godly habits. There's a number of ways that we can train our children, a number of aspects to training our children. We'll expand on some of these a little as we go through. For example, we'll spend one Sunday morning considering what it is to discipline our children. How do we discipline our children? And what does discipline entail? But let's just look at 3 categories that we can put training in general this morning. First of all, train your child intellectually. If you read through the Apostle's letters in the New Testament, he talks an awful lot about the mind. Train your child intellectually. Let me just go through a few of the things that Joel Beakey points out in his book that I certainly found very challenging. How to train your child intellectually. Number 1, monitor and control your children's use of modern electronic media. TV, computers, video games, iPods, iPads, tablets, MP3 or 4, social networking, all those things about which most of us as parents are completely ignorant. Limit the number of gadgets they have and limit the amount of time they spend on them. And discipline them so that in the future they might be self-disciplined. Know what they're looking at, know what they're listening to, and know who they're chatting to. Secondly, train them to be good readers. Provide them with good books and encourage them to read. Read with them when they're young and get them into the habit of enjoying spending time with a good book. Even if it's on a Kindle. But train them to read and enjoy it. Thirdly, train them to think and make decisions. Take a real interest in discussing the subjects your child is learning. Make time to do it. At the meal table, whether it's breakfast or dinner, just before bedtime can often be good. Explain and discuss decisions that you're taking as parents. And as they get older, discuss the decisions that they are beginning to take and guide them through the process. Discuss current affairs. Discuss issues within the wider Christian community. Train them to think and make decisions. Fourthly, train them to respect teachers in the church. I'm glad I'm following a book. Joel Beakey said that. Train them to respect teachers in the church. Whilst families are the building block of society, God calls all Christians into local churches. And it's in churches where God provides gifts to his people for teaching and for pastoring. It's always within the context of church that that takes place, not purely within the context of family. The Apostle Paul talks far more about church than he does about family. Not that he disregards families, but church plays a vital part in all of our lives together. As parents, we should make the most of the opportunities that our children have to learn within the church setting. That's the context that God places us in. As soon as we become Christians and are baptized, we become members of a church. Within our homes, make sure that within earshot of your children, church officers are spoken about with respect and with honor. And let them hear you praying for them in your prayer times. Take a keen interest to see what they're learning in Sunday school or at other lessons that they might be attending. Encourage them. Work with them in their memory verses. Go through their homework sheets that they get and discuss it with them. Make that part of your teaching so that you and the church are working together. And as they get older, you can start to discuss the sermons with them. Encourage them to take their own notes and so on. And you be part of, hand in hand, in partnership with the church, the teaching that's being given. Make sure that you train them according to their ability. All of children are different. Our approach towards them and our expectations of them should always be individual. A very interesting thing that Joel Beakey mentions, which I think is worth saying. One thing that parents must never do in the hearing of their children is compare the merits of one child against the failings of another. Never let children hear you speaking about them, comparing them against each other. Especially the child who's being spoken negatively about. The child who gets all B's and C's in their GCSEs may have worked twice as hard as the person who got straight A's. And actually, the person with straight A's was really lazy, and if they tried harder, they'd have got A stars in everything. And then finally, train your child to recognize that every skill and ability that they possess comes from God and ultimately is to be used for his glory. Not for their own inflated ego, or for in years to come having the best house and the best car and the biggest salary and all those worldly ways of thinking. Not that those things are impossible for Christians to enjoy, but let's make sure that our children are thinking as they ought to think. So train our children intellectually, then train them socially. Equip your children with the life skills that they need to be a useful and pleasant member of the church and of society. Teach them to wash and dress and groom themselves. Teach them how to handle a knife and fork properly at the dinner table. Teach them basic good manners and etiquette. Teach them respect for adults. Teach them modesty in their dress. Teach them to be self-disciplined. Teach them personal warmth and grace and kindness when they deal with others. Sound character and conduct count for much, even in a fallen world. There's a time and a place for fun and practical jokes. There's a time and a place for sober-mindedness. There's a time and a place for light-hearted banter, and a time and a place for serious discussion. There's a time and a place for casual, relaxed chilling out. Train your children to know where and when all those different times and places are. Give them the discernment that they need. Teach them how to behave during church worship. Teach them how to enjoy meaningful fellowship with the Lord's people, both in formal settings and in informal gatherings. Train them. Show them. All of these things enable us to be good neighbours. They reinforce the disciplines of self-control and self-denial, which are Christ-like qualities. And finally, train your child physically. Train them physically. God's given us bodies. We're to take care of them. We're to do what we can to keep them healthy. Good sleep, regular bedtimes, regular get-up times, diet, exercise, all parts of healthy growing up. Teach your children about their bodies, and at an appropriate age, explain to them the changes that their bodies will go through during adolescence. Explain to them the facts about sexuality, emphasizing the goodness of it within marriage and the need for sexual purity. Train your children to avoid extremes. Train them to avoid extremes in physical exercise. There's no biblical mandate to become a steroid-fueled bodybuilder. Get them to avoid extremes in appearance. There's no place for dressing purely to draw attention to yourself. Neither is a place for being slovenly. Teenagers need to be trained how to dress attractively, but modestly, and not for sexual appeal. Our bodies are not to be abused or misused in any way as Christian people. They're to be used for God's glory. Our children need to be trained in these things. If you don't, the world will. In all of these things, let the Word of God be your supreme guide. Let the Word of God be your supreme authority. And pray that the Holy Spirit will both equip and enable you, and that He'll do a work of saving grace in your children. And in the meantime, that they would know even a special portion of God's common grace in their lives as you seek to teach and train them for the future. It's never too late to start. You will come across things in this series as I am, and you'll think, if only. I wish. It's never too late to start. And it's always too soon to stop. Keep going. Every parent will find things they should be doing better, or that they're not even doing at all. Never think you've left it too late, and never think it's too late to start to make a difference. Whatever the issue that you need to put right, start today. Think of Cotton Mather's resolutions. Take a copy and have a read this afternoon over a cup of coffee or tea. You'll find it helpful and challenging and stimulating. And never think that you've cracked it. And take your foot off the pedal. For the sake of your children, for the sake of their children, train them, teach them, and keep on. Well, the Lord help us as we continue to consider these great themes as we bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'd chosen a hymn last week that we didn't sing. It was really late last week when we closed. We've just got time to sing it this week, I think. It's a hymn from Christian Hymns, probably not familiar with the words, but I trust we found a tune that we all know. Yep, good tune. Lord, behold us at thy feet. Let's just stand and bring our morning worship to a close.